News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5-807. Dan and Dalton, Dan Brennan, Dalton Arwig, and we're here for the next hour or so, and a little less than that. And then, of course, but during this hour, we can turn up your voice. Feel free to give a call, 251-343-0106. Also reading those texts, including the mosquito texts, most of them coming in from Baldwin County.
Yeah.
And I don't know why one area, not the other.
Well, yeah, and that's, you know, I've seen so many Facebook posts about it, and I know that they increased their mosquito spraying patrol team there in Daphne because of it. But Haywood texted, he said, may have unleashed those special lab-grown skeeters in Baldwin County. And I want to talk, too, some about the lab-grown bugs and how they try to use those to affect populations, especially diseased populations of bugs. I got a story on the screwworm, the Texas screwworm.
Yeah, well, so the Texas screwworm was a story that we had maybe a week, 10 days ago. So what I read, I didn't know that there was some sort of like a engineered, produced
screwworm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
I mean, like, how so?
So, you had the Texas Ag Commissioner, Sid Miller, and he was speaking with the media. He said that the feds are trying to get involved here and eradicate the New World screwworm. But he says the way the feds are going about it is the definition of insanity. You know, I think we've heard before about releasing mosquitoes to try to limit the population of diseased mosquitoes. They do it with, you know, bugs all the time. Miller told Newsmax Monday the Ag Department leaders in the Trump administration are, quote, doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. He said releasing sterile screwworm flies in Mexico, which was their plan, has not produced results in preventing them from reaching Texas. He pointed to millions of flies released each week over the past 19 months.
In Mexico?
That he said have not stopped the screwworm from approaching the U.S.-Mexico border region. He said that's 8 billion flies, yet the screwworm fly has marched 1,100 miles north and is now in Texas and Arizona. We need to do something different. We have more tools in the toolbox, but we're not using all of them. He said the most effective approach was developed half a century ago. They call it the Screwworm Adult Suppression System, or SAS. I don't know if they worked that out in the acronym on purpose. SASSY. He said it worked great. Killed 95% of the flies. It's a screwworm adult suppression system. It's just a simple fly bait. You put out the fly bait, the flies eat it, and they die. And he's urging Trump's team to use that program, but so far he hasn't been getting any responses. He went to the White House, he said, last week. They know about it now, so hopefully we'll move forward and actually use something that works. This is a very simple program. He said the insect has the potential to inflict significant damage on cattle operations and, by extension, the U.S. food supply, which the cattle, I mean, that's been a problem for a while now. He said we already have a 75-year low in cattle numbers. If it continues to a full outbreak, we won't have as many baby calves. So, yeah, it could lower the population of the beef herd, which is already at an all-time low.
Wow.
The Texas governor, Abbott, he expanded the state's emergency response earlier this month after more cases of the flesh-eating parasite were confirmed. And he said wildlife, even household pets, can be killed by the New World screwworm. So I don't know what level of danger we're at.
So was it the state of Texas releasing the flies to combat them, or mosquitoes or flies to keep them from getting to the border?
I don't know which government body, or maybe it was a combined effort, was releasing these sterile screwworms in Mexico. But he said there have been 8 billion that have been put out there. And I know I don't know what all insects they do that for. I think mosquitoes, they somehow try to alter the population doing that. But it's kind of weird to think that, you know, and maybe willy-nilly is the wrong word to use, but you've got just scientists just releasing hordes and hordes of insects to try to tamp down problems.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the kind of audit on those and whether they really work out or what the long-term effects of that are.
It sounds like currently they're not working out, according to the people who are reporting on this, saying it's not working. And we had something in 30, 40 years ago that did work?
Yeah, he said 50 years ago.
Let's just do that again.
And they've been doing that since, yeah. And so hopefully the Trump administration listens to the Texas Ag Commissioner on that one. Squirrel Verine said maybe there are fewer mosquitoes in Mobile because of the industrial pollution in the air and water and gunpowder. Nice one there, Squirrel Verine. He also said earlier, notice how the mainstream media backed away from covering the World Cup after players, and I'd add to this, fans, were happy to be here. He said the ding-a-ling left-wing fear-mongered about how foreigners would be arrested by ICE, etc. And you're right, you haven't heard much about, it's all been about the reflection pool since then. And a little talk about the World Cup from the CNNs and MSNBCs and or MS Nows. When they were saying, oh, this is going to be such a disaster, the FIFA World Cup, they're going to hate this fascist America and blah, 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 blah.
It's been a
fantastic result so far.
Yeah, people from Central, South America, all over Europe, Arab nations, Africa, all saying pretty much the same thing. This place is awesome.
Mm-hmm. And they can't believe our stadiums either.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, those are mostly taxpayer-funded, so pat yourselves on the back for those nice stadiums that we have around.
Well, the college campuses, I guess, are those, you know, those stadiums have been around a long time.
Mm-hmm. And those are more Coliseum-esque than a lot of the NFL stadiums.
I agree.
I mean, playing in front of 110,000 fans at some of these college stadiums would be awesome. And it was cool that they had that game at Jordan-Hare, that exhibition. But then you move into those multi-billion dollar NFL stadiums with it's just been really cool. I guess in some of the locations, like actually getting to the stadium has proved to be pretty difficult, particularly MetLife.
Yeah,
having some issues getting in and out of there. But
yeah, at ticket prices, that's been a problem. I guess if you want to see America compete in Los Angeles, $3,000 to get you to begin the conversation to get you in the gate. Also, the fact that I don't know how much of a role this has played in these stadiums. The pitch for soccer is about 20 yards wider than many American football stadiums are in terms of the seating coming in too close to allow them to even play soccer.
Ah.
So that's why some stadiums were eliminated from the beginning.
They X'd them out because it wasn't going to work.
Right.
Rick said, or I'm sorry, this is another text here, said, my Uncle Rick said, just give those screw worms a Diet Coke and Virginia Slim and they won't be screwing nothing. That's pretty good. Michael said, you've got Bill Gates with his tick virus to make people allergic to beef. Now they have the New World Order screw worm killing all of the baby calves. I'm starting to feel like a conspiracy theorist like Ricky. Yeah, that alpha gal syndrome with the ticks is just, I don't know if much more frightens me than that. I mean, and like Sean pointed out on Midday Mobile, the ticks are most likely to bite the people who are enjoying the great outdoors, who are most likely going to eat a steak that night or some kind of other meat. So in that alpha gal, I mean, that just sounds absolutely miserable, miserable. Fire Dog said, will we have Democrats rooting for the screw worm like they're rooting for the algae? Has Trump come out against the screw worm?
And that, they're rooting for the algae. They're rooting for other nations in the World Cup.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
It's so un-American, and it's on the 250th. You'd think that they could, you know, be a little more selective in their outrage and not but not really. So you'd think they could say, all right, I don't like this president, and say all the mean things that they always love saying about Trump. But there are people actively rooting for the pool to be as miserable a situation as possible. They don't want whole thing to turn out for the 250th, this big plan.
The big plan that begins today, right? Something that, well, no, this is the other, the Rally America thing begins today, and then some sort of a national, what would normally be like a state fair, it's more like a national state fair, is going to be in D.C. here beginning tomorrow. And then the 250 is going to be huge. Yeah, they're against that. They're against our own soccer team because they pretty much have aligned with and have and thanked the president for his support. So that's a no-no. The ballroom can't have that.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have, even though there was an attempted assassination at the hotel, but can't have the ballroom to replace that on White House grounds.
Yeah.
You can't have peace in the streets in D.C.
Right.
That's a no-no.
And remember, they were mad about the war in Iran. Now they're mad about the deal that's being made to end the war in Iran. So you can't win with a lot of these people. But Democrat socialists won some last night in some of those congressional primaries.
Mostly in New York. Yeah.
Beating out some incumbents that were backed by Hakeem Jeffries. Rock and Roll Doctor texting in, he said, "There are only two other times in my life when I recall mosquitoes being as bad as they were yesterday on the Eastern Shore." He said, "At the Belly River Campground in the New England Glacier Park in 1995, and then on Isle Royal on Lake Superior in 1998, I don't ever recall it being as bad here in Mobile and Baldwin counties."
Wow, that's really, I mean, I've got an appointment over in Baldwin County today. I might need to kind of go mosquito hunting.
You might need to take a mosquito net for your appointment. Thank you, Texter. Wreck on I-65 northbound at Airport Boulevard just happens. So that's 65 northbound at Airport, not too far from our studio here. Butterknife texting in says, "I saw this on Fox News. They were questioning Trump about the reflecting pool, and he said there's a video of a man cutting a 250-foot slit in the paint. When asked if they can release the video, he says, well, it will just have to come out in court. Do you think Republicans will ever get tired of listening to Trump lie? He's a good president." Well, I can't believe you just said that, Butterknife. He said he's a good president, but damn, he lies a lot, and most Republicans are okay with it. And I've tried so hard to not talk about the reflecting pool thing, because it seems like such small potatoes compared to everything else going on in the country. I saw this story from, let's see if I can pull it up
to
here.
To me, it seems like a big enough story.
It does?
It does. It kind of feels that way.
It's become one. But the reasons for it becoming a big story.
Well, they're being disputed, obviously. But people are actually poisoning the reflecting pool after the renovations to it, just wiping away the millions spent to make it beautiful, which, you know, would be a point of pride. I mean, Trump has tried to reinstall pride in some of these landmarks in Washington, D.C. If you have a problem with that, I've got a problem with you.
Yeah. I mean, I completely agree with that. But
I don't know the truth as to which is it algae or is it citizens with an Antifa bent.
Yeah, I mean, but just the amount of time and attention spent on this pool.
Well, it's a
landmark,
it
right? It's obviously a big landmark and means a lot to the country. But CNN, they have spent, let's see, five networks have clocked in nearly 7 hours of coverage over the last week on the reflecting pool.
Wow.
CNN spent 215 minutes and 37 seconds covering the pool, equating to more than 3.5 hours of its programming. MS Now followed with 160 minutes and 51 seconds, which equates to more than 2.5 hours of coverage. And then the three broadcast networks, CBS News led with more than 15 minutes of coverage, ABC News with 10.5 minutes of coverage, and NBC News with nearly 9.5 minutes. They've arrested six people now.
Including the former Olympian.
The former Olympian, who you said had a past.
Years ago.
Similar to that. Mm-hmm. And then now they've put up fencing around it and security. I think they're staffing it at all times.
You can't see your reflection in the reflection pool.
But you haven't been for a long time, right? That's kind of
you can't get close to see your reflection.
You can't get close enough to it.
Yeah.
It's just...
I would think, too, that was done probably by MRC, the Media Research Center.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, Jeff used to have a weekly guest from the Media Research Center, Gaber, somebody like that. And that's what they do, is they try to document the imbalances that they see in news coverage, including The View and trying to convince the federal government that they are a political show, I guess you would say, or like a news show, and therefore they shouldn't be, in terms of their guest list being fairly Republican, and they say they've got no need to do that because they're actually a news show. And the Media Research Center says bunk on that. So that'll be interesting to watch that going forward, too.
Yeah, and it's almost like isn't the network basically campaigning now against this FCC reaction?
The ABC is.
I wonder if that's why Vance got maybe a little more of a warm welcome last week with all of this getting set up, this fight, because the ladies of The View, they actually, you know, kind of acted like they liked him after it was all said and done, or whether that was just his political prowess. I don't know.
Probably just his political skill to get on that show and come out with without your head being handed, you know, sitting on your lap, because the View leans one way, and they lean very, very heavily to the left with their views. It's not the views for sure. It is The View.
Yeah. 822, your texts. We'll get to more of them here. 251-343-0106. Plus that Road to Housing Act. Big bill that passed the House yesterday. We'll talk about it on the way.
Turn up your voice on the text line. 251-343-0106. Now, back to Mobile Mornings.
It's not like the left doesn't have a history of using vandalism, etc., violence, for their own means. So getting back to this reflection pool, or reflecting pool, whatever you call it, but why would that be off limits? You have six arrests.
Seven citations, six arrests.
So wouldn't that indicate that something is here? Something is there? It's not just algae?
Well, you have a lot of people saying, well, they're just arresting people to arrest people to prove their point. And Butterknife, so he said, see, you're doing it. I was talking about Trump lying about the reflecting pool, and you spin it and just talk about how much the Democrats are covering the reflecting pool. The big story should be, why is the president lying to the American people about stuff? How are you so confident that he's lying about that?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, you know, Trump, he likes to stretch the truth a lot. No doubt about that. Certainly, he's been caught saying things that weren't always necessarily true, but you're saying that there's no chance that someone has been vandalizing this pool when the National Mall lawn, you have 8647 that was carved into that.
Yep.
You had this terrorist attack that was planned for the UFC event.
They only wanted to terrorize and kill a bunch of people, at the Trump UFC fight. And you're saying that there's no way that anybody would dare do anything to that pool?
Now, what is working in the favor of those that are saying that, well, Trump is just lying about all this with the pool, the reflecting pool, is because they haven't shown evidence of chemicals dumped in the water, unless they provided that here over the last 12 hours or so. And you have journalists that are all rushing out there to cover this. And, I mean, again, it's become like the lead story on so many different accounts. When you've got this peace deal we're working with Iran, had this big Medicare and Medicaid fraud announcement.
It's the lead story because they think they have Trump in a bind.
Right.
That's why it's a lead story. And that's why I see why you're frustrated, why it is the lead story.
And, of course, Trump blaming Obama for it. He said it cost over $100 million and that the pool never even opened, was rarely open due to leaks and stench. And, I don't know. Your thoughts on the pool? 251-343-0106.
Sounds like our government center a little bit, doesn't it?
It kind of does.
it's the government center of D.C.
Texter says, to lie used to be a bad thing. These days it's the normal, and at the end of the day, we will all be judged. Matt from Daphne says, totally agree on the deranged media. Like, seriously, cover some real stories. However, I do wish that I got a contract, $45 a square foot, to clean and paint the bottom of that pool. For that cost, I would have put down Brazilian tiger wood for them. As for the mosquitoes.
Mobile Bay starts its day with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on Mobile Mornings.
835 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. Right now it's time to head to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're great. Tell us, what are the deals at McConnell today? What are people coming out and asking to test drive?
I hate saying this because I sound like a broken record. trucks, and more trucks.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, we have a great selection. You got 0% on brand-new half-ton trucks. I mean, we have a great selection of those. Pre-owned, we've got a great selection of those all out front. You check everything out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. We got them cleaned up and out front and ready to go. And, you know, with this heat and stuff, you want to come by and look at one, just call up here and say, hey, I want to look at that AT4X out there, and can you get it cool for us? And the salesman will walk out there and crank it up for you.
Yeah, and, you know, I know.
Get ready by the time you get here.
Yeah, that's perfect. And I know a lot of our listeners, they like to do that prep work before they head to the lot. And McConnellAutomotive.com, you can get really good insight into the vehicles you're interested in. I mean, the images alone give you a full view of inside and outside the vehicles.
That's right. And you know what? Most of the people that are looking at cars know a lot more than all of us do about them because they do their homework. And mm-hmm. But, I mean, there's all kind of new stuff that's coming out with General Motors. And I hear a couple of new engines coming down the pike. Ooh. And the new body style and the trucks. And it's just there's a lot of stuff, a lot of new stuff coming on. So, yeah. Be checking out McConnellAutomotive.com. We'll have everything on the website.
Yeah, exciting times to be a member of the McConnell family there at McConnell Automotive. We appreciate your time this morning, Louie.
Hey, thank y'all. Come see us.
That's Louie Raddick. Go see him. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and the website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
On the text line, 251-343-0106. Let's see who is saying the while you people don't know a lie when you hear it, if his lips are moving, he's lying, talking about Trump.
Yeah. Well, Michael says maybe butt knife. He said, I think butt knife's point is that Trump has shown a repetitive pattern of lying, so it's hard to know when he's telling the truth. Or maybe he just woke up ornery because he got all those teeth and no toothbrush. I love a good water boy. a good water boy quote, Mama said.
Wait, a water boy reference?
Troy fan said, and now everyone's piling on butter knife. No, I mean, I love having conversations with butter knife because you kind of, you get to the point where, and not always, I mean, sometimes butter knife is completely unfair sometimes, but butter knife is every now and then a pretty fair arbiter of the things he's seeing. And Trump's statements are outlandish all the time. Yeah, I completely agree. And it does create some issues for those that are trying to back the overall Trump MAGA movement.
Well, yeah. And that's always been so maddening, especially when the world is watching with this Iran thing, and you didn't know what was going to come out of his mouth next. But, talking about demolishing a nation and then calming down. I guess it's all part of the negotiation, but it's kind of his rhetoric obviously has been something that everyone has been talking about, probably has changed the political landscape in a lot of ways since he got on the scene. Well, I know it has.
But I also think on the other side, you have people and news organizations that have been lying about Trump.
I agree.
Or saying that things Trump says are lies that have turned out to be completely true.
That's right.
And so we're just left here.
Wondering.
In Mobile, Alabama, yeah. Trying to figure out what the dang truth is. And all the meanwhile, you got propaganda flying everywhere. But to act like there's no chance that insane, you know, people are trying to vandalize this big reflecting pool project when you had 8647 carved into the National Mall right next to it. And it's to say that there's not a chance that there's vandalism going on is also completely, you know, out to lunch.
Well, again, on the part of the radical left's playbook, a good part of it has been violence. So why would, and there have been six arrests, they just made all these up, but what's going to happen? It seems to me that there's a chance that it was done because it sounds like it's right out of radical left's playbook.
Well, I mean, look at the spin from the Carmelo Anthony case the other day. I think some well-known podcaster, and he's a bit Looney Tunes too, was describing it as Metcalf fell on the knife. Yeah. And then with that sentencing yesterday with the Texas Immigration Center, where you had this one lunatic, Benjamin Song, convicted and sentenced to 100 years in federal prison. You had seven other I'm reading the story, protesters. The spin here is they were just protesters and demonstrators who got into a little bit of trouble here, and that those sentences were way out of line. That was an ambush at a federal immigration detention center where they were trying to murder cops.
Yes.
And they get sentenced and they're the victims all of a sudden. Mm. It's absolutely insane.
It makes no sense.
Mark says, coming from a guy who voted for Trump every time he's run, he is certainly the king of embellishing. That's what salesmen do. Optics, the art of the deal 101. That doesn't mean he lies any more than the liberal left or anyone else in the media. Yeah, I think I agree with that statement there, Mark. I did want to talk about this Housing Act because that was, you know, while everyone's talking about the reflecting pool, this could be something that hopefully will really, really help a lot of younger Americans buy houses and start their lives, you know, on a good foot in a era right now where housing is just unaffordable for so many that are entering the workforce and trying to start families and trying to get their lives going.
And if you're talking about Mobile and Baldwin County, think about the big cities. It's just absolutely impossible for them to get a foothold. And I don't know everything. I haven't read everything or enough about this bill to talk about it at length confidently. But there's something creepy or something that doesn't feel right. Wall Street buying up a lot of these homes and properties that normally would be individually on the marketplace, and you would be able to negotiate. It's the buying power that they're going to have, or the power to negotiate if they own all these properties.
And BlackRock is the one that everyone points to, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that was also kind of overstated how much of the single family homes they've bought up.
Yeah.
But there's no doubt that has been a pretty big part of their portfolio.
Right.
And this was a weird one because, in a way, you had Elizabeth Warren and President Trump kind of their housing plans, in a way, being mishmashed together to put together a bill that passed pretty overwhelmingly with bipartisan support, which is something we don't see at all anymore.
No, that says something about the bill.
But the Wall Street Journal is wondering, you know, how much the federal government can actually affect the housing market when it comes down to it. So the House passed the bill 358-32 yesterday. That came the day after the Senate voted 85-5 to approve the measure. And the president expected to sign it into law today. But the Wall Street Journal reports home builders and developers are responding mostly with a shrug. The legislation offers no new funding for affordable housing projects, and it is up against economic headwinds that are keeping builders from expanding the housing stock, such as elevated mortgage rates and higher construction and materials costs. It says, ultimately, the bill exposes the limits of the federal government's ability to increase housing supply. Congress doesn't have the authority to change the local zoning regulations and building codes that actually determine what gets built in America, and they've bogged down new housing development for decades. Builders, who have been scarred by the years of local bottlenecks that have delayed and killed their projects, fear that Congress's new legislation could meet the same fate when cities and towns try to implement it. Ed Brady is president, chief executive of the Home Builders Institute. He said, all of this has to be administered at the state and local levels. It's going to take some time for this to actually filter down, if at all. But this is a federal government that has been trying to push more responsibility onto the states.
They have.
And if this does allow states like Alabama and Georgia and Florida, you know, red states more or less, and some of the more moderate purple and blue states, then I think this could be a good deal. It's called the 21st Century to Road Housing Act. Includes measures speeding up federal environmental reviews for certain housing projects, removes restrictions on building manufactured homes, and ties cities' federal funding to their housing production. Now, could this result in more of these big cookie-cutter neighborhoods where you move into this brand-new house and the wall is already cracking and things are starting to fall apart because
Poorly built, poor materials, things like that.
But there's no doubt that it's been a terrible situation for those trying to get their first home or even, you know, some of the older folks who are trying to get into a home and stay there for their remaining years. Any housing legislation must contend with the cost of living in the U.S., which has remained stubbornly high. Again, hopefully that will begin changing, especially now with fuel prices beginning to drop. Existing home prices are nearly five times the median income, according to a Harvard study. That's well above what it was in the 90s. And then sales of existing homes have been mired in their worst slump in decades. And I'm not one of these people who says, you know, the boomers, they have to move out. What are they doing in these 8,000 square foot homes when there's only two of them in there? Just sell it. Just move out. That seems like encroachment on people's liberties. But people don't want to move out. They you know, spent their whole lives moving into these nice big homes, nice places they want to go to, and then downsizing just isn't really what they want to do.
And downsizing isn't that easy either. If you're downsizing, where's the market for that?
Yeah, and you know, if you were able to get in on a low mortgage rate,
which I was so fortunate to be able to stay.
Because, yeah, for instance, you know, if I wanted to sell and move, my interest rate would go way up just because of the difference in the market over the last 6 years.
So there's why the houses aren't selling robustly, is that. And I do get, you know, not all the nuances of it, but if you're trying to pass legislation across the board, across the nation, and then when it comes to building and things like that, you've got all these entanglements from city to city or from region to region or state to state. A lot of things that are handled on the local level entanglements that I think could be problematic in the end.
Now, this sentence, and I haven't been able to say this much at all in years and years and years, this latest legislative package has no new spending. They try to put a little bit of spending in everything these days,
yeah,
but this one doesn't. So that helped it get the bipartisan support. And you had Elizabeth Warren. She said many of the regulations that make housing, I think it was Elizabeth Warren here, yeah, which is odd that she would say this, said that many of the regulations that make housing so expensive cost the federal government $0 to reform. Elizabeth Warren wanting to reform housing regulations. How about that? For instance, eliminating the requirement that manufactured homes include a metal frame chassis would, by some estimates, save up to $10,000 on each of those units. And they also point out some local governments are well ahead of Congress making the move on this. An earlier version of the bill included a provision that would have forced developers of some new single-family rental homes to sell those properties within 7 years of constructing them. But the real estate industry threw a fit about that. That ended up being removed from the final version of this bill. And now housing economists are preparing to watch how cities and towns react to these new provisions.
All right, there's a clue on this, but with the bipartisan nature and the overwhelming vote on this. What was that vote again? Three something to,
I think it was
single digits, double digits?
Yeah, it was 358 to 52, or 358 to 32.
So they want to fight about everything, and they do not want to fight about this. To me, that tells me this is overwhelmingly popular to the citizens,
mm-hmm,
because if Congress and the Senate overwhelmingly vote on this in a way that this thing, when it's that much of a lambasting, the citizens want it.
Yeah.
It's not a political, it's not a 50-50 proposition in any way. And that tells me the American people, with their frustration about trying to get into a home, this is what they would want.
Well, another bill that they're trying to pass also has overwhelming American support, and that's the Save America Act.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not getting the same reception. You know, the Democrats are staunchly against that. And Republicans, this is the split, the big split right now between Thune and Trump, is Thune's just saying, hey, we don't have the votes to get that Save America Act across. And Trump and then Mike Lee, Senator Lee, and some others, they're saying, do whatever you have to, because this is what it will take to save America. I mean, that's the name of the bill. You'd think that would be as straightforward as this one, but it's not.
Yeah, and that's why I say that there's something about the one we were talking about that is so overwhelmingly popular or wanted that they're not even going to bother messing with it at all and try to turn it into a red-blue argument.
Mm. Sean says, got to call balls and strikes. Trump is doing some good things despite the Iran debacle. Chris, Orange Beach.
Well, some would say Iran is not a debacle. Some would say they are, that without this side of a regime change, that Trump and America and Israel have done everything they could possibly do.
Yeah, and a regime change that has to come from within, right?
Yep.
And doesn't look like that's going to happen. Chris says, here's a challenge to all the listeners. And they say, let's see, here's a challenge to all the listeners. Name a president that's been better than Trump in our lifetime. He is definitely cut from a different cloth. Let's see. Butterknife says, I'm not defending the stupid liberals who do stupid things. You have to get rid of the oxygen thieves. I totally agree. But Trump continues to lie about little things, which makes everything seem, is it true or is it not true? Squirrel Vereen says not a single Democrat can accuse the president of lying when they lie about gender, lie about race relations and police, and contradict themselves. Last year, they started their No Kings protests under the guise of patriotism. They were waving flags, but have reverted back to condemning the flags. Billy D says, yeah, you guys nailed it. Who wants to leave a 2.4 or 2.2% interest to jump into a 6-point interest rate on the house? That's three times the value of what it really should be. It makes zero sense. Fire Dog, right now the two houses I own, what is 2.5% interest, the other's at 3. If I tried to get rid of them, I would end up with a 6 to 7% interest rate on anything new I bought. That's the problem that hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of Americans are going through right now. Joel,
a big part of the decision, right?
Text you here because the SAVE Act is preventing a power grab from Dems. They'll never give that up, no matter how many supporters. And that is the heart of the issue right there.
I think it is. 8:51, we're going to talk with Jeff Poor of the Jeff Poor Show right around the corner.
News, weather, traffic, and sports. You're listening to Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton. I didn't realize this Alan Jackson show was going to be that big in Nashville this Saturday.
Yeah, I'd forgotten it was this Saturday.
So he's suffering from some sort of nerve disease he's fighting. And
It's ironically, and this is a tragic story, but it's called CMT disease, mm-hmm. Charcot-Marie-Tooth, genetic degenerative nerve condition. He's been battling it for a while, but yeah, he's going to have it's the last show, and it's Saturday in Nashville, and I think it's going to be on... I don't know if it'll be on CMT or maybe one of the networks, but that's coming up this weekend.
Well, the lineup is crazy. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's amazing how many different country stars are going to be there.
Yeah, the King will be there. Yeah, Lainey Wilson, Cody Johnson, Miranda Lambert, John Pardee, a bunch of them. Let's check in with the host of the next show and our good buddy, Jeff Poor, joins us right now. Hey, Jeff, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, buddy. I know you got Parker Griffin coming up in the... In the first hour of your show, the Democratic voice of the Jeff Poor show.
Yeah, is he upset about the reflecting pool or reflecting pool, or what's Parker going to wail about?
I think we're going to spend some time on those New York primaries.
Yeah.
This is the fight we've all been waiting for.
Mm-hmm. How about that? I mean, how much power did Mamdani show that he has in the party, which he's DSA, Democratic Socialists of America, but he was beating out Hakeem Jeffries-backed incumbents last night.
But, I mean, it's this. It's like we've been running on Democrats. I say we, but I'm not a Democrat. I've been running on, Trump derangement syndrome and not really anything that's necessarily policy oriented other than everything the Republicans do is bad, but now they have to make a policy statement, and this is what they want. This is the way they have ginned up their voters, their base, to think their kind of predetermined policy destination here. And they made this bid. Now they got to lie at it.
Now, Jeff, is this going to play poorly nationally here in a few months?
I mean, maybe a little bit. I think it really will matter more in 28 when people are made familiar with who this caucus is, who these candidates are.
And they'll also have some receipts in that time. They'll have some results.
Because right now it's just sort of, Mom Donnie bad. When they start making public comments and... I think, you present them with some of the Israel stuff and how far out there they are, then people are going to make the connection there. And this is going to be something. Democrats have avoided the Civil War for 20 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're in it now.
Yeah, and it really seems like someone's trying to make Mamdani the next Obama. I mean, the reactions to his New York Knicks speech the other day, it was kind of crazy to me.
Yeah, and good thing he can't run for president, but maybe that's this sets up AOC for 2028.
We shall see. Who else you got coming up on the show today?
Yeah, Joey Clark. We do that every Wednesday, and then we'll wrap it up with Alan Mendenhall, who writes a column for us at 1819 News on Mondays, but also is a fellow at the Heritage Foundation in Washington, D.C.
What do you make of this reflecting pool drama?
I mean, I don't know. It's just like... I was telling Del Jackson this earlier when I was on with him. I just don't. It's so tedious. Like, yep. I don't care. It's like the name on the Kennedy Center.
Yeah, that's like another one. Yeah.
these little symbolic, like, tiresome things that Democrats need to fight about. Okay, whatever. He screwed up the reflecting bull. I don't care.
You think it's fun for Trump to fight with him on stuff like that, though? Do you think he has a little fun on the things that don't really matter in the grand scheme of things? Kind of.
It's almost
down
like a flashbang, and it's something to keep them occupied while you deal with the rest of the country.
Yes, actual flashbangs in Iran, things like that. Thanks, Jeff. We'll have you ready to go here at 9:06 or so.
Thank you for having me on.
Got it. Always. Jeff Porcho on the way next. Midday Mobile follows at noon, and we'll be back on tomorrow morning at 6 right here on FM Talk 106.5.